Welcome to Whiskey Cask, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 246 for April 4th, 2010. Coming up in a few minutes.
Of course, the whiskey is very much part of the Scottish experience. I would encourage anybody who really wants to understand Scotch whiskey to come to Scotland.
That's Fiona Hislop, Scotland's Minister for Culture and External Affairs. We sat down this week to discuss whiskey and tourism in Scotland as the festival season gets underway. That's coming up in a few minutes, along with the emails of the week, the calendar of events, the What I'm Tasting This Week department, and a very special announcement. First, though, let's take a look at the news. The results of this year's San Francisco World Spirits Competition are in. Isle of Jura's Prophecy Islands Single Malt was named Best in Show Among Whiskies. Heaven Hill's Elijah Craig Single Barrel Bourbon took Best Bourbon Honors, while Seagram's VO was named Best Canadian Whiskey. Bushmills 1608 took top honors as Best Irish Whiskey. Among Scotches, Ardbeg Corrie Vrecken was named Best Distiller's Single Malt, and the Grand Bark Equinox was named Best Blended Scotch. There's a link to the complete list of medal winners at the WhiskeyCast website. Last time around, I mentioned Glendronach's new Grandeur Limited Edition Malt. This weekend, with perhaps a bit less grandeur but no less dedication, the distillery is opening its new visitor's center. The center is opening on time despite two floods that caused delays in construction. It's expected to attract around 5,000 visitors this year. The distillery is located about an hour north of Aberdeen. Maker's Mark has won a six-year-long battle in court over its trademark red wax-dipped bottles. A federal court judge in Louisville has issued an injunction barring Casa Cuervo Tequila from using a similar wax-dipping process on its bottles. Maker's Mark founder Bill Samuels Sr. trademarked the design in 1958. The distillery sued Casa Cuervo for using a similar design on bottles of its Reserva Tequila sold in the U.S. from 2001 to 2004. The ruling follows a trial in Louisville last year. If you see a bottle of Jack Daniel's with a red label, buy it and you'll help reduce carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Jack Daniel's is working with the American Forests Conservation Group on a special commemorative bottle. American Forests will plant one tree for each bottle sold and expects to plant at least 100,000 trees as a result of the promotion. The group projects those trees will sequester enough carbon dioxide to equal the impact of 6,000 cars over a year's worth of driving. Finally, I have a bit of news to add. This past week, someone downloaded the 1,000,000th episode of WhiskeyCast since the first episode in November of 2005. To be honest, when I produced that first episode, I never thought it would get to this point. What's more, the results of the March WhiskeyCast pledge drive are in. The number of downloads during March hit an all-time record with more than 95,000 for the month. That's almost double the number from February and more than any two previous months combined. I can't say this enough. I appreciate your support. And if you've just discovered WhiskeyCast, welcome and thanks for listening. Time now for the emails of the week brought to you by Oban Single Malt Scotch. I mentioned the download numbers on my Twitter feed and the Facebook page this week. Thanks to everyone who posted notes of congratulations. Linnell Smothers, who used to run one of New York's best liquor stores until she left for Mexico a few months ago, posted the quirkiest comment on Facebook. That many, and no nudity or profanity? I mentioned Maker's Mark and the red wax a couple of minutes ago, but I heard from Parker Shalotto of the U.S. Navy a few days ago. Now, he's trying to find a bottle of the old Maker's Mark Black Wax Edition that was sold in limited numbers until about 10 years ago. There's none available from the distillery. In fact, master distiller Kevin Smith told me the only bottle that he's seen in years is the one he gave his father-in-law about the time they stopped making it. If you know where Parker can find a bottle, email me, and I'll put the two of you together. I complained on my Facebook page the other night about opening a pizza box and finding a bug inside with the pizza. Fellow malt maniac Peter Silver responded, "Just scrape it off and enjoy your pizza with some Lagavulin like a real man." Finally, a shout out to Gordon Homer and all of the folks at the Spirit of Isla website. Gordon is celebrating the site's 10th anniversary this week. Congratulations! If you have questions, suggestions, or comments, email me. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com. And this week's emails are brought to you by Oban Single Malt Scotch. Last time around, I mentioned the auction I've been working on for the Alzheimer's Association Chocolate Symphony Gala in Philadelphia, April 10th. There are still a few days left to bid on the Scotland trip that will be auctioned off that night. It includes two tickets to Glasgow on Continental Airlines, lodging at the Blythewood Square in Glasgow and the Howard in Edinburgh, VIP tours at Auchentoshan and Glengoyne Distilleries, and a membership in the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. If you're interested in bidding, email me for the complete details. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. Rob Allinson of Whiskey Magazine will host a couple of tastings in New York this week, ahead of Whiskey Live New York Wednesday night. He'll be at the Brandy Library on Monday night and Highlands on Tuesday night. The U.S. chapter of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society will have its next single malt extravaganzas on April 14th in Houston and April 15th in Dallas. Malt Advocates Whiskey Fest Chicago is April 23rd, and the Ard Beg Committee gathering is the next day in Chicago. That same day, the Spirit of Toronto Festival and the Kentucky Bourbon Festival sampler in Bardstown. Finally, the Spirit of Speyside Festival is April 29th through May 3rd in and around Dufftown. You'll find a complete calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Just click on the Laphroaig banner at the WhiskeyCast website to become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay. As I mentioned earlier on the show, we are marking the 1 millionth download of WhiskeyCast episodes this week, and I've also been talking for the last couple of weeks about a special announcement that's coming up, and we're actually going to do that now. I'm joined by Fiona Hislop, the Scottish Minister for Culture and External Affairs, and let's talk about what we have planned in conjunction with the Scottish Tourist Board and visitscotland.com. What are we going to do for two lucky listeners, shall we say?
Well, we're here to promote and launch a very special offer, a competition, to encourage those that from WhiskeyCast, if you're a listener and you download or you have any connection, you can come to Scotland. We're going to have a sweepstake. We're working with WhiskeyCast and Visit Scotland to come to Scotland, and there'll be a prize to come to Scotland during September, which is Whiskey Month.
And that includes Whiskey Live Glasgow on the 12th. We're talking airfare on Iceland Air, accommodations in Glasgow, and there's really a lot to do there, isn't there?
Well, Whiskey Live during Whiskey Week is a tremendous experience, and obviously coming to Scotland and visiting our distilleries is a must for any anybody who likes their whiskey, and you can only really know your Scotch whiskey if you come to Scotland. And Whiskey Live is a tremendous event in itself, but there's many other things to do, and we're also building on our homecoming year, a very successful year last year. We're having a theme of focus on food and drink in Scotland. Obviously, whiskey is a big part of Scotland's culture, but increasingly with 25% of all exports from Scotland being whiskey across the world, increasingly across the world, we know people are waking up and appreciating and sharing what many of us have known for a long time, that Scotch whiskey is really the best of the best.
You mentioned briefly the homecoming events from last year. How do you build on such by all accounts, a magnificent year last year for Scottish tourism?
Well, Scotland has so many friends across the globe. The homecoming year was a great success, and it allowed an opportunity for people to come and revisit Scotland or visit for the first time, to come home to where their roots are. And I think that's whetted the appetite for people to come back. So this year we're having a focus on food and drink, and obviously whiskey is a very much a part of that. So there'll be many events, and indeed during the Whiskey Week in September, gourmet events, where we have tasting and demonstrations, are really important. And of course that added on to the festivals, means that we can also have a great celebration. The Speyside Festival, the Islay Festival of Whiskey are all very much part and parcel now of the legacy of homecoming, and we're building that on that year on year. So what you've got last year, much of it will still be an offer in Scotland.
How much of an increase did you see in tourism to Scotland last year because of the gathering?
Well, we saw with the homecoming and obviously our flagship event, the gathering, a huge amount of increase. We know that there was a big increase in tourism. We're currently assessing, we're going to publish shortly the reports on it. But at a time of recession, we found that it was very successful. And of course, for American visitors, with the value of the pound against the dollar, we provide great value and it makes it a really good attraction for visitors coming to Scotland.
You mentioned the effects of the recession. How hard hit was the tourism industry by the recession, despite the homecoming?
Well, the tourism was buoyant. In fact, the figures are showing that actually there was very little of an impact, and indeed many people either staying at home, but the homecoming itself helped attract people, and of course the value of the pound. So we've had a very buoyant time in terms of our visitor numbers and to our festivals in the summer. There was an increase of 11% on the festival and 21% on the fringe. So people were still coming to Scotland and enjoying the culture that we have to offer and the experience. But of course, the whisky is very much part of the Scottish experience, and would encourage anybody who really wants to understand Scotch whisky to come to Scotland.
Now, we've talked many times before about the Scotch Whisky Trail and the various industry-wide promotion efforts for Scotland. How much support do you give those efforts within the Scottish Government?
Well, promoting Scotch whisky is very much part and parcel of what we do. It's why I'm here in New York just now. It's why we're promoting Scottish aspects across Scotland Week this week. And whisky is very much part and parcel of that, so we're very pleased to do so. We also make sure that in terms of the promotion and in terms of the skills that are provided and the support for the whisky industry, we do provide that. Scotland doesn't have all the economic and tax powers that we need. That's still within the United Kingdom, Westminster government's remit. But we lobby very hard. And a very good example is making sure that Scotch whisky is branded as Scots, can only be produced in Scotland, just as champagne can only be champagne if it's produced in the Champagne area of France. We've now got rules and regulations that means that you only get Scotch whisky if it's produced in Scotland, and that's very important for a whole variety of different markets. And I was with our First Minister only last year when we were, for example, with the Chinese market, making sure they were aware of the importance of that branding, and that we can protect the essence of Scotch whisky. It can only be Scotch whisky if it's made in Scotland.
You mentioned taxes briefly. I know the Chancellor last week decided to impose UK-wide another increase in alcohol taxes. How does that sit in Holyrood these days?
Well, we're obviously don't have powers in Holyrood in the Scottish Parliament over taxes. It's one of the things that we would want to. We obviously recognise the importance to us of whisky. It's 25% of our export manufacturing market. So clearly we'd want to make sure it was a competitive advantage against other areas. But in 2008, we saw the figures and increase in sales go up. So we know that whisky is a vibrant market. We know it's growing its market. So whatever we do, we want to make sure, whether it's persuading Westminster or if we had the powers ourselves, make sure that whisky is well placed internationally and can be well received. But it's a high-end premium product. You know, you're getting the best, and it's important that it's priced accordingly.
How much influence did the First Minister have with Westminster in terms of trying to at least mitigate some of this tax increase?
Well, what we have to do is to make sure that Scotland's interests are represented, whether it's in whisky or in other areas, and quite clearly that we have a keen interest. Indeed, our Cabinet Secretary for Rural Affairs, who's responsible for food and drink policy, has a number of distilleries in his constituency, so we take a very keen interest in the whisky industry. But part of that is to persuade the Westminster government to look, you know, favourably on Scots, the pricing in terms of taxation. But at the end of the day, that those decisions are unfortunately not those for the Scottish Parliament to take as yet.
I have to ask, what's your constituency, and do you have any distilleries in your district?
We have a number of distilleries in the Lothians area, and the Magdalen Distillery is a very old distillery, which is no longer there now, but we certainly have, whether it's Lowlands, we've got distilleries, but my favourites are in Speyside, I must say. And I know that whether it's the Islands for the peats, or whether it's Lowlands, or whether my preference in Speyside for the Speyside malts, I think that there's a taste for everyone, as of course I'm sure many of your listeners will know.
I have to ask, tell me about your first experience with whisky when you were growing up.
My first experience, well, I'd probably hate to say it was probably on my tooth when I was very young to numb it. Which is probably,
it would not be the first time I've heard that from a Scot.
No, but certainly when I was growing up, you know, whiskey was very much revered, and it was for celebration, very much for celebration. Certainly one of my favourite experiences was in the Scotch whiskey down the association place down in society down in Leith, where you had blind tasting. And that's when I tasted a beautiful Craigellachie it was, which I've not come across since, but it's where the cooperage is, of course. And anybody visiting Scotland, you must go to the cooperage, because you get to see the barrels, you see the sherry barrels, you understand how the different tastes can come from you know, the different barrels that are used. But I suppose that my first taste really was Glenfiddich, and I think once you've tasted your first whiskey, it always stays with you. So Glenfiddich was always the one that I always remember.
Did any of your family work in the industry?
None of my family worked in the industry, but it employs so many different people across Scotland, which is important. And it's, of course, it's a grain as well. And, of course, what makes Scotch whisky so special is it's our water. And if you've ever been to Scotland, it's a beautiful country, very green. It wouldn't be as green as it was if it didn't have as much rain. But, of course, that helps us provide the taste, and it's the freshness of our water that makes such a difference, soft water, which makes such a difference to the taste and the flavourings.
And you mentioned the greenness, and that only comes about to talk about the environment a little bit, because I know that many of the distilleries and the Scottish government are really trying to focus on environmental impact of whisky these days and of whisky distilling. What is the government doing specifically?
Well, there's some interesting measures that for individual distilleries working with the government to look at some of the kind of, I suppose it's the green agenda. It's looking about the waste in particular, and there's some very interesting projects where the Scottish government is working and supporting distilleries where they're looking to try and minimise their waste and to become a far more efficient in many ways, but also it means that in terms of the green agenda, they're making sure that they're minimising their waste, and I think that makes a big step forward. And also some of the issues around energy as well, and some of the distilleries are looking at what they can use in terms of alternative energies to help make sure that they minimise their carbon footprint as well.
Let's bring this back around to tourism to close things off. For the first-time visitor, what's the one thing that a first-time visitor to Scotland needs to see?
Well, I would probably say Edinburgh Castle. It's the most visited place across Scotland. It's a fairy tale place right in the middle of a city. So the city of Edinburgh, you can walk around. But I suppose I can't mention that without mentioning the islands and the highlands. So between castles and the islands and mountains, and once you've seen a Scottish sunset, you'll never forget it.
Now, the only way to enter the competition is to visit the WhiskeyCast website and click on the Come to Scotland banner. The contest runs through May 31st, 2010, and I'll announce the winner on the June 6th episode of WhiskeyCast. You'll find complete contest rules on the entry page. Since Fiona Hislop's favorite malts come from Speyside, let's start off with a Speysider in the What I'm Tasting This Week department. I got a sample of Macduff 1984 from the Berry Brothers & Rudd Berry's Own Selection range. It's bottled at 46%, but my sample was at a cask strength 52.2%. This malt was aged for 25 years in a sherry butt, and the nose is dry and oaky with hints of figs and raisins. The taste, spicy, notes of licorice and dried fruits, just a hint of smokiness. The finish is spicy and lingering with hints of toffee. I'm scoring the Berry's Own Selection Macduff 1984 a 92. Next up, the Glenmorangie 18-year-old, aged for 15 years in ex-bourbon casks and the final 3 years in Oloroso sherry casks. It's bottled at 43% ABV. The nose is full of citrus fruits, toffee, nuts, and a hint of apricots. The taste starts off with orange and grapefruit notes, then becomes honey sweet with hazelnut and hints of figs and dates. The finish is sherried and fruity with hints of apricot and cinnamon. It's well-rounded and very smooth. I'm giving the Glenmorangie 18 a 93. The other night, Melinda Jo of Wine Enthusiast and I were discussing Japanese whiskies for an article that she's working on, and I was sipping a glass of Nika whiskey from the barrel during our conversation. It's a blend of malts and grain whiskey from the Miyagikyo Distillery and malts from the Yoichi Distillery, and has won several awards recently. The nose has hints of mint leaves, figs, raisins, and a touch of apricot. The taste is full of flavor. The spices are balanced well with oak, caramel candy, and ripe berry notes. The finish is woody with hints of sawdust. And a splash of water brings out notes of dried grasses and green apples. It's outstanding. The Nico whiskey from the barrel gets a 94 in my book. Finally, we heard from Cavalan's Ian Chang back in episode 234 in January. Ian was able to get me samples of several of his whiskies, and I started off with the Cavalan Single Malt. It's bottled at 40% ABV. The nose is clean with hints of tropical fruits, flowers, vanilla, and honey. The taste starts off spicy, then turns tropically sweet with lingering notes of mango and papaya. The finish is sweet, but a bit too short. That's the only place where this whiskey could be better. I'm scoring the Cavalan Single Malt an 84, but that's a good starting point for such a young distillery. Of course, you can find all of my tasting notes in the WhiskeyCast iPhone app sponsored by the Glenrothes. And if you've already picked up an iPad, the WhiskeyCast app works just fine on those, too. By the way, if you're using the app, I'd appreciate it if you would post feedback on the iTunes App Store page. That helps other people discover it, too. My tasting notes are also available on the WhiskeyCast website. That's also where you'll find links to my Twitter feed and the WhiskeyCast Facebook page, the calendar of events, the WhiskeyCast store powered by Amazon.com, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. And my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. Coming up next time around, highlights from Whiskey Live New York. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2010, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.